Thanks for listening to the Wellspring Church Podcast.
We're starting a brand new series. We're calling it Best Year Ever. For some of you, you've already started off the year well. You made some New Year's resolutions. One of your New Year's resolutions was to either attend church more or try to get back into God or however you framed it. And I just want to say you're batting 1,000. Like, you did it. You did it. You are one for one. You are on your start. Now, maybe you didn't go to the gym this week because God decided to make it 15 degrees outside, and he told your kids it was going to snow, and then it didn't. Actually, God didn't do that. Ed Piotrowski did that. But no, I'm just kidding. I'm really poor guy. I felt so bad because it was like y'all thought he controlled the weather. He didn't. He's like a really, really great guy, and he's like, look, I'm sorry. But it's really fun to wake a kid up the next morning. He's expecting 3 to 5 inches of snow, and no snow. You know what else? No school. Be honest. Some of you are here today just because we would take care of your kids for an hour. You know, some of y'all are like hardcore atheists, but you're like, you know what? They're going to take care of my kids for an hour. I'm going to church. I don't really... Oh, and you know what? We're thrilled you're here. We will take care of your kids once an hour for as long as it takes for you to change your mind about God, because we believe you will, because we're going to take care of your kids for an hour every single week. Oh, man. But no, hopefully you've gotten off to a good start. If you call them New Year's resolutions, you know, I hope they're going well. If you don't call them New Year's resolutions, I still hope they're going well. Because here's what I know. Even if you don't call them New Year's resolutions, even if you didn't make a list, there's just something in humans, right? That when it flips to a new year, when the calendar changes, there's just something in us that's like, okay, this is our chance for a fresh start. This is our chance to actually make some of those changes that we really want to make. In fact, some of you are here today at church because you just couldn't think of anything else to do. Because there's been a couple of years where you've had some things you want to change, and it never really works. And so your brain was like, what could it hurt, right? Let's go to church, because they talk about change a lot, and we think it might could help. And so you're here. You don't really believe in God. You're not sure about this whole God thing, but you're here because you're like, it can't hurt. And I want you to know, again, we are thrilled that you are here, because we agree with you. We do think this is the best place in the world to come if you want change in your life. And the reason we say that is because those of us that call Wellspring home, those of us that have a relationship with God, those of us that believe in God and have our lives changed by him, know that he is the source of all the change and all the better that you want in your life and that I want in my life and that everybody wants in their lives. We know, one of our phrases here at Wellspring, we know that life is better with Jesus. We know that. We've experienced that. Now, if you're a guest today, if you don't believe in God, you don't know that yet. But you're here because you're like, hey, what could it hurt? Or maybe you're here because your life hasn't been changed by Jesus because you don't believe in Jesus yet. But you have a friend whose life has been changed by Jesus. Or maybe you have a spouse whose life has been changed by Jesus. Maybe you have a student. Your kids have been coming on Wednesday nights and you're like, they keep going to church. I didn't tell them to do that. Why are they going to church? I got to go check this church out. Are they a cult? I got to go find out what's going on at that church. That music was really loud. I don't know about all this. But you're here because you have some questions on your own or you're seeing some things. And part of you is like, man, is this real? And part of you is like, man, whether it is or it isn't, man, their life's getting better. And so I want to figure out what's going on. So if that's you, if any of that describes you, man, we are honored that you're here. I'm the pastor. I'm the leader. I get to speak for everybody. I'm thrilled that you're here. I'm thrilled that you decided to spend a little bit of time with us today. Absolutely thrilled. And the reason I'm thrilled is because your hunch was right. The reason I'm thrilled is because this is the place, as I said earlier, to discover the secret and discover the truth to lasting change. And that truth lies in a man. That man's name is Jesus. Jesus is the guy this all revolves around. He's why we sing. He's why we clapped earlier. Because we have begun a relationship with Jesus, and it's changed our life. And the reason we gather and the reason we exist is a couple of things. is so that we can come and so that we can hear about Jesus and so that we can learn more about him. But primarily we exist so that people who don't know about Jesus can come here, meet him, discover him, have their lives changed by him, and that we can continue that cycle until every man, woman, and child in Myrtle Beach at least has an opportunity to have their life changed by him. And the reason it's so important to us, the reason it is so passionate, is because we don't just believe that Jesus makes our life better. It's not just better. See, we're like you. We want a better life. If you're here today, you don't believe in God, you came looking for a better life. Everyone in this room is here looking for a better life. Every person in this room. We all want a better marriage. We all want better friends. We all want better kids. We all want better students. We all want better bosses. We all want better employees. We all want it to be better, and we all want to be better. And if I'm honest, if I can just share a little secret with you, we really don't want better. What we really want is the best. We want the best life. We don't always say that out loud because sometimes it can sound arrogant. It can sound selfish to say, hey, I want the best life for my family. I want the best kids. I want the best teenagers. Okay, I'll just settle for good teenagers. Love y'all students. I'm just joking. It's just so easy. It's just so easy, but I love you so much. We want the best. And I want to just go ahead and just settle any apprehension, anything in you that says, hey, don't want the best, that's selfish, whatever. Just get that out of your brain. Because the reason you want the best is because you were designed to receive and experience and live the best. You weren't designed for just good. You weren't designed for better. You were designed for the best. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father created you with the best in mind. And the reason we're starting this series today called Best Year Ever is that I believe with a few simple tweaks, every single one of us can truly walk into the best year we've ever experienced. And it has nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with this place. It has everything to do with our relationship with God, our relationship with our gracious and loving Heavenly Father. And that's why we're starting this series today called Best Year Ever. I know many of you may be traveling over the next few weeks. You may want to check back in and follow up with some of these messages. So for the next 3 weeks, you can check, well, really, as long as the internet exists, you can go to wellspringchurch.tv/bestyearever, and you can check up on these. Like if you have a friend or a family member you really wish was here, you know, you can send them to this website, and they can follow along, and they can see everything we talk about, because we're going to spend the next 3 weeks really talking about some things that I believe, some simple things that every person in this room can do, whether you believe in God or not, every person in this room can do. Every person in this room can do what we're going to talk about today and the next week and the next week. And I am convinced that it will make 2018 the best year you've ever experienced. And I'm convinced of that not just because I believe it, which I do, not just because I've experienced it, which I have, but because when I study the life of Jesus and when I study the spread of the church, which was the movement he launched consistently over the last 2,000 years, I have seen this happen. When I read scripture, when you read church history, when you see people, when you understand what happens, when God actually becomes alive in someone's life and they truly give control to him and they truly say, hey, God, what do you want me to do today? It produces a better life. Now, some of you might be like, okay, well, why? Why does God need to be a part of this to make my life better? Yeah, I mean, I know I came to church, but I was really just hoping you'd give me like some practical tips, like, you know, three keys to change or something. Like what do you mean give control to God? What does that look like? Well, I'm really glad you asked, because that's what I want to talk about today. And what I want to do is, rather than me try to explain it because I can't, I want to turn to a man that God picked almost 2,000 years ago to explain most of what we understand about Christianity. And that man's name is Paul. If you attend Wellspring regularly, we talk about Paul a lot here at Wellspring because he wrote about half of what we call the New Testament. The New Testament is the second to one-third of our Bible. It tells the story of Jesus, his birth, his life, his ministry, and then the spread of the early church. And Paul's a guy who kind of came on the scene a little late. Paul was not an original Christian. In fact, Paul was a religious leader who sought to destroy Christianity. He thought Christianity was a cult. He thought Christianity was heresy. He used to arrest Christians. He actually oversaw the first execution of a Christian. That's Paul. But then one day, he was on a way to a town to persecute some Christians, to arrest them. And Jesus appeared to him and said, "Yo, Paul, what are you doing?" That's my paraphrase. It was really more like, "Yo, dog, you better wake up." And Paul did. Paul was like, "Oh, for real?" And Jesus was like, "Yes, I'm the Son of God, follow me." And he did. Paul immediately changed. Paul became a Christian. Paul became a follower of Jesus. And Paul spent the rest of his life being the most effective missionary the church has ever known. He took the message of Christianity to the known world at the time. He would go to cities. He would tell people about Jesus. He would convert them to Christianity. He would then start churches. He would then leave and go start other churches. And what we believe is he would then write letters to those churches to give them instructions to how to be a Christian, because they didn't have a Bible. They didn't really know how to be a Christian. And so when Paul was writing those letters, we believe God was speaking through Paul when he wrote those letters. And some of the letters Paul wrote were very specific. He would write letters to a specific church to give them a specific answer. Some of the letters Paul wrote were like circulars. He would write them to a church, but they were intended to be shared with everybody. The one we're going to look at today is his letter to the church at Ephesus. And this letter was a universal letter. It was, "Hey, Ephesus, I'm writing this to you, but share it with everybody, because there are universal truths in here that everyone needs to know." And in Ephesians chapter 2, Paul clearly explains why. If the best life is your goal, Jesus is your access point. No matter what you believe, no matter what you've experienced, if not just better, but best is what you really want in your life, Jesus is the only path to best. And for our purposes, Jesus is the path to 2018 being the best year ever. So what I'd love to do is I would love to turn to Paul. I'd love to turn to Ephesians chapter 2 and love to explain to you why I believe this, why I think Paul lays this out, and why, if you're here today and you don't believe in Jesus, why I think you should change your mind. I think you should change your mind, and I think you should become a Christian, if not today, as soon as humanly possible. And if you are a Christian, I believe that you should increase your reliance on Jesus today. I believe you should increase your reliance on him tomorrow. I believe you should increase your reliance on him every day for the rest of your life. And that will produce the best life possible. But again, who cares what I believe? Who cares what I believe? Let's look at what Paul says and what we believe God says through Paul. So if you have your Bibles, you can open to Ephesians chapter 2. That's where we're going to be, Ephesians chapter 2. If not, it's going to be up here on the screen. I'm going to warn you, Paul, he wrote like he was running out of time. Like he thought Jesus was coming back in an hour, you know? So Paul didn't really mince words. He wasn't very tactful. In 21st century, Paul would not have been like a great boss, because he was really blunt in what he says. But for what Paul was doing, it's okay. But for our purposes today, beginning of the year, everybody's like, "Yeah, we're out of the house." Like, I need to warn you, because Ephesians 2 is blunt. Some of you are going to find it offensive. And if I were in your shoes, I would probably be offended as well. I understand that. I understand. Because Paul gives us some very, very, very bad news as we open. Very bad news. Then he gives us some very, very good news. And then he gives us the key, I believe, to making 2018 the best year ever. But I'm just trying to warn you, the bad news is really, really, really bad. So here's what he says. Ephesians chapter 2, starting in verse 1. "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." Happy New Year. Now it says, "Once you were dead." See, Paul's writing to Christians. He's writing to people who have placed their faith in Jesus and who have crossed the line and have a relationship with God. He's saying, "Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins." Let me explain what that means. See, as Christians, we believe in this thing called a sin. A sin is anything we do that God does not want us to do. Anything God has said, "Hey, don't do that." When we do it, that's a sin. Anything God's like, "Hey, I don't want you to feel that way," and we feel that way, that's a sin. A sin is just anything we do that God does not want us to do. And the reason Paul says you were dead because of your many sins is because, bear with me here, we believe that sin separates us from God. Because God is holy. God is perfect. God can't be around sin. In fact, the only thing God can do to sin is destroy sin. So, if you're a sinner, and all God can do to sin is to destroy it, and you have sin, that means God must destroy you. Again, Happy New Year. So thrilled you're here. But Paul's saying, look, this is the way it used to be. Or for people in the room who you don't have a relationship with Jesus, who don't believe in him at all, he's saying this is your current situation. Your current situation is that you're dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. And you're like, nope, not dead. Breathing. I'm breathing right now, so I don't know why he would call me dead. And he doesn't really mean physically. He means spiritually. He means that you're trapped in sin. And again, man, I know this is so offensive. And if I was you and if I was on your side, I'd probably be offended too. But just give me a minute because it's just going to get so much worse. It's just hold on. But that's what he's saying. He's like, look, apart from God. That's what he said. Apart from God. There's no way you can live your best life ever. There's no way you can even get close because apart from God, you're dead. You're dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. And again, you're like, I don't feel dead. I don't feel dead. Okay. Well, let's keep reading because, again, it gets worse. This is what he says next. I hope you're ready. Because, again, he's talking to Christians. He said, you used to live in sin. Talking to Christians, right? And then what that means to live in sin is like to just wallow in sin. Like, I've made bad choices, and I'm just going to make another bad choice. You know, to get to the point where you've made so many bad choices, you don't feel like there's a way out. You ever been there? To just feel like I've blown it so much, I deserve what I have. I've made so many mistakes, I've hurt so many people, that there's no way out for me. That's what he's saying to people who are Christians. Because if you're not a Christian, it's not you used to live in sin. He's saying you do live in sin. But he's saying, just like the rest of the world, so it's everybody. But then he says this thing that, man, you're not going to like. And, man, I almost took out. But I can't because I don't get to pick and choose what God wrote. And so here's what he said when he's talking about sin and how dangerous it is. And he's like, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. Just what you wanted to talk about first week of January, right? The devil. I know some of you, you're rolling your eyes. I get it, man. I roll my eyes. I don't want to believe the devil is real. But then I breathe and I realize he is. This is how Paul describes the devil. The devil is the commander of the powers in the unseen world. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And for those of you who are wondering, wait, did Paul just say, if I don't obey God, I'm obeying the devil? Yes. Yeah. That's what Paul just said. And you're like, I don't even believe in God. I don't even believe in the devil. What do you mean? Obeying the devil, that sounds crazy. I know. But you got to remember, you're in a place with a people that truly believes a man died and came back to life. Like, we believe that. That's our starting point. That's our baseline. And it's changed our life. And I'm just going to be honest with you. If you are really interested in 2018 being the best year ever, if you are truly interested in experiencing lasting change, and you think you can do it apart from God, I just need you to understand how impossible that will be. And it has nothing to do with me. It has everything to do with what Paul is saying. He's saying apart from God, we obey the devil. He's the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And even if you don't believe in the devil, here's how I know deep down you have to admit he might be right. How many, don't raise your hand. Please don't raise your hand. How many of you have habits that you know are destructive, that you know are painful, not only to you, but to people you care about? Habits you have tried to break over and over and over again, but you can't do it. You've tried so hard and it never works. Your brain tells you, stop doing this. I shouldn't do this. But something inside of you always pulls you back. You know what's happening? You're obeying the devil, the commander of the powers in the unseen world. See, the devil is very real. And his sole purpose is to destroy your life. He hates your guts because he hates God. And God created you to love you. And he can't stop God, so he can hurt you. And he's real. And he's at work 24/7, 365. He does not take a snow day. And he really perks up when you try to improve your life. Here's another example. I want you to think back to just some choices you've made in your life. Just some choices that you look back in shame, you look back in regret. You'd give anything to go back and relive those moments, relive those choices. And you've tried. You've thought about it over and over and over again. And at the end of the day, what it comes down to is you think, I don't know what I was thinking. I just don't know why. It doesn't make sense. It's not me. It's not logical. That's not in my character. I have no idea why I did that in that moment. I have no idea. It's because the devil is a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. So, whether you want to call the devil or not, you probably should because it's the right thing to do. I just want you to understand the magnitude of what we're up against. And I want you to understand why some of these habits, some of these things, your temper, your desires for other people, your wandering eyes, your inability to just control your finances, your inability to speak kindly to your children or to speak kindly to your spouse or to speak kindly to your employees, even though you know it's what you should do. You keep blaming yourself. You think it's your fault. There is more going on than you know. There's a spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. And that's really bad news. But I would not be doing my job if I didn't clarify what was going on. Now, before you think there is an ounce of holier than thou, an ounce of judgment, an ounce of here's what I am and here's who you are, look what Paul says next. Because Paul knows you're going to think that. Paul knows I'm going to think it. And Paul does not want that to happen. So here's what Paul says next. Paul says, look, guys, all of us used to live that way. All of us. All of us used to follow the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. And by our very nature, we were subject to God's anger just like everyone else. All of us used to feel that way. See, here's why he's saying that. Because what can happen is when you become a Christian, you can trick yourselves into thinking you're better than people who aren't Christians. And you can start to create categories of people and say, well, I'm good and they're bad. And I deserve this and they deserve that. And Paul's like, no, 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 no. Stop. Danger, Will Robinson. Worst thing that can happen. Because the second you begin to think you're better than other people, you lose your ability to reach other people. No, 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 no. All of us used to live this way. All of us used to experience this. And none of us did anything about it. All of us were this way. We were all subject to God's anger. We all deserved death. That's what Paul's trying to say. So if anybody in the room is a Christian and you're starting to think, man, I'm glad I beat that. Man, I'm glad I'm better than that. Man, I'm glad I don't struggle with that anymore. Paul's like, yeah, you do. All of us used to live that way. All of us. We didn't fix this problem. We broke it. That's the bad news. But here's the good news. But God is so rich in mercy. And God loved us so much that even though we were dead, even though all of us were broken, even though all of us rebelled, even though all of us choose to live our own way, even though all of us tell God we're smarter than him, even though all of us are like, God, I got this, even though we've all done this, even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. Again, maybe you know the story. See, what God did with his anger, what God did with the punishment you deserve and I deserve and we all deserve for our sin, is rather than punish us, he punished his son Jesus in our place. That's why Jesus died on the cross. That was God punishing sin. My sin, your sin, that I've ever committed, that I ever will commit, all sin once for all time, God punished it. He dealt with it in Jesus. Punished him in our place. And then, on Sunday morning, when he brought Jesus back to life, it was a picture for us. It was like, hey, not only am I powerful enough to set you free, not only am I powerful enough to make sure you can have a relationship with me, I'm powerful enough to, no matter where you are, no matter what's happened in your life, no matter the addictions, no matter the problems, no matter the travesties, no matter how far gone you think you are, I can bring you back. And if you aren't sure if I can, go to Jerusalem, look at one of the three places they say is the tomb of Jesus, go to all three, they're all empty. Because his spirit didn't raise, his teachings didn't raise. Dude was dead on Friday, stayed dead on Saturday. On Sunday, he got up and walked out. That's what we believe. And we believe that the same power that raised him from the dead is fully and freely available to every single person in this room to make your life the best possible life. But for me to get up here and to just give you a couple of tips and a couple of strategies, I've done it before, I'll do it again. But today, it's not enough. There is a war going on. But you don't have to fight in it. Because God's already won. God's already set you free. Look at this. Here's what he says next. He says, for he raised us from the dead. Raised. That's past tense. It's already happened. It's not he will raise when you do the right things. He will raise when you give enough. He will raise when you serve enough. He will raise. Raised. Jesus died almost 2,000 years ago. He came back to life almost 2,000 years ago. At that moment, it was settled. You did not have to live the life you were born into. You did not have to live a life where you just can't make it better. You can have better. What does better look like? He raised us from the dead, along with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms, because we are united with Christ Jesus. Seated us with him in the heavenly realms. That song we sang earlier, we are royals. It says we are daughters, we are sons. See, that's what we believe as Christians. We believe that when we accept what Jesus did, when we accept the payment he made, we can reconnect with our heavenly Father. Not some heavenly cosmic God off in the universe who doesn't really care about us. Our heavenly Father. That he views us as sons and daughters. Not prodigal sons and daughters. Not problem sons and daughters. Perfect. Sons and daughters. Perfect sons and daughters. Some of you are here today because you feel guilty. And you feel like you've got to come in here and pay God back or work your way back into his good graces. You don't. He doesn't see it. That was paid for 2,000 years ago on the other side of the world. Now, why would God do all this? Why would he do this? Look at this. Look at this. I love this. God did this so he can point to us in all future ages as examples of the incredible wealth of his grace and kindness towards us as shown in all he has done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. He did this to display to the world how good and how loving he is. And then Paul's like, you know what? I got to make a little, another something clear because he knows us. He knows how we think. So he has this little part. He says this. He says, look, guys, don't forget. He says, don't forget, God saved you by his grace when you believed. Yes, you had to believe it, but that's all. You didn't earn it. You didn't do anything. He saved you by his grace when you believe. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done. There's nothing you've done to earn salvation. That also means, if you're here today, there's nothing you've done to discern it. It's not a reward. It's not a scale. That's why Paul opened it with saying, you once were dead. He didn't say you were bad. He didn't say you were naughty and needed to be nice. He didn't say you were bad and needed to be good. He said you were dead. There are not, as far as I know, I'm not a doctor. I don't believe there are degrees to dead. Dead is dead. You can't be like first degree dead, second degree dead, third degree dead. Dead's dead. One sin, dead. You can't earn it. You can't lose it. We broke it. God bought it. But why? Why was it so important for God? With this bad news, this thing we did, this good news that he came and fixed it. He came to set us free. Why did God do it? Why did it matter so much? And in Ephesians 2:10, Paul tells us. And this is why I believe 2018 can be the best year of your life. Because God created you to live the best life possible. How do I know? Paul tells us, for we are God's masterpiece. Not God's accident. Not God's problem child. Not God's, if they don't go back to school, I'm going to lose my mind. Masterpiece. The Greek word here is poema. So we get the word poem. It means God's special project. His passion project. His loving sculpture, if you will. You are God's masterpiece. And you are God's masterpiece. And you are God's masterpiece. And you are God's masterpiece. Paul says we are God's masterpiece. We are his loving, special project. And here's what he wants to do with his special project. Look at this. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. He created us on purpose. Some of you need to hear that today. You're not a mistake. You're not an accident. God wasn't off duty when he created you. God loves you. God made you exactly how you are. And God wants to use you to change the world. God wants to give you the best life possible. In fact, he's planned them. He's planned a future better than you can possibly imagine. All he's waiting on is for you to invite him in. All he's waiting on is for you to step into his plan for your life. I know what you're thinking, Trey, what do you mean? What do you mean best? This is good things. This is God has good things planned. I want better than good, man. I want great. I want perfect. And I understand what you would say that, but you got to remember who's talking here. He's talking about God. God doesn't have degrees. For God, it's good or bad. God is perfect. God is holy. For God to say anything is good means it is perfect. For those of you who maybe grew up in church like I did, maybe you went to Sunday school, maybe you remember the verses in Genesis that tell about the creation of the world. God creates the heavens and the earth. At the end of every day, what does God do? He looks at the world and says, it is good. He doesn't need to say perfect. He doesn't need to say great. For God to call something good means it is perfect. Because God is perfect. So no, God doesn't just have good things planned for your life. God doesn't just have great things planned for your life. God has the best things planned for your life. They're right there. They're waiting. And if you want 2018 to be the best year ever, you need to control the one thing you can control. And that's how much of God you allow into your life. That's it. He's taking care of everything else. But you can control how much you're going to listen. You can control how much you're going to believe. You can control how much you're going to obey. You can control how much access God has in your life. And the reason I bring that up is because there's a statement I want to make. And it's a statement we're going to come back to over the next 3 weeks. And it's a statement I hope you'll think about. Every time you find yourself with a tension, every time you find yourself at a place where you can't get over a hump, every time you find yourself at a place where it's like, I want better, I want best, I don't know how to overcome this, I don't know how to break this habit, I don't know how to break this cycle, I don't know how to get better than this, but I know I want it. I hope that the Holy Spirit will bring to mind this phrase and bring to mind this teaching, because it will change everything for you if you let it. And it's very simple. I am best when God is most. Guys, that is universal. I am the best father when God has the most control over my parenting. I'm the best husband when God has the most control over my marriage. I'm the best driver when God has control over my temper. I have the best life when God has the most control over my life. And it doesn't mean best in the future. It means best right now. Don't forget what Paul says. Paul says, we are God's masterpiece. He doesn't say, when you get your act together, when you clean it up, when you've memorized the New Testament, when you've given half your salary to the church, when you've served 1,000 hours, then you'll be a masterpiece. He says you are a masterpiece right now. Just give God control. He doesn't say you were a masterpiece, man. When I created you, you were a masterpiece, but you have blown it. You are jacked up. And we got some work to do before we can call. We'll call you a masterpiece in training. Because that's how you feel, right? I know that's how you feel. That's how I feel. Paul's like, no, that's not how our God works. We are a masterpiece. Every moment of every day, we are God's handiwork. We are God's craftsmanship. We are a part of God's plan if we simply allow him to take control. But here's what else it means. It means every single day can be better than the day before. Because every single day you can give God more control over your life. You can give God more access. It's a constant process. He's constantly working. He's constantly molding. He's constantly shaping. He's constantly changing. Which can mean, I'm here to tell you, every day can be the best day you've ever lived. Regardless of your circumstances. Because every day can be a day you live the life God created you to live. And it all comes down to this idea. I am best when God is most. I'm best when God has most control over my life. But practically speaking, what does that look like? How do we do this? Well, it's very simple. A step towards most is the path towards best. Every single day, you can take another step towards the most of God possible in your life. Every single day, there's an area you can grow. Every single day, there's an area you can submit to him. Every single day, there's an area you can say, God, continue to shape this in my life. Continue to mold this in my life. Continue to change this in my life. Every single person in this room, every single day, for the rest of your life, for the rest of my life, we can wake up and say, all right, God, what is my step towards most today? What is the step towards the most of you in my life? Because I know a step towards most is a path towards best. And I don't want to settle, God. I don't want to settle for mediocre. I don't want to settle for good. I don't want to settle for anything less than your absolute best for my life. I want the best life. Which means, whenever God answers, whenever anything moves, whenever you hear something in here, whenever you're reading, whenever a friend says, hey, here's a step, you have to decide that the next step is the best step. Every single day, the next step is the best step. Don't worry about five steps, don't worry about six, the next step. What is the next step? Right now, for some of you know what the next step is because God's been asking you to take it for weeks, maybe months, maybe years. But I'm just here to tell you, if you want 2018 to be better than every other year, if you want 2018 to be the best year ever, it's time to take a step towards God. It's time to take a step towards His most in your life because His most produces your best. So here's my last question and we're done. My last question. What's your next step? What is it? What's the step God's asking you to take today to have the most of Him in your life? What's your next step? For some of you, your next step is to step outside of yourself and to help other people. That may be here, that may be serving on a Sunday morning, that may be serving during the week, that may be serving at your kids' schools, that may be coaching one of your kids' teams, that may be stepping up and doing something in your neighborhood. I don't know what it is, but I know God's got a step for you because He's got good things He's planned for you to do long ago. And just a side note, those good things are never meant just for you. That's just not who God is. We did a whole series last fall about blessings. We're blessed to bless. I know for some of you, you know, you were here back in the fall and we did the financial series and we talked about the tithe challenge and you kind of told yourself you're going to wait till January to get started. Well, it's January. Maybe your step is financial. Maybe finances have a real big hold on your life and God's like, hey, I want better for your life. But for you to have better, I need to have more. I need to have total control. I need you to surrender that to me. And man, I've got good things planned for you. It's going to be great. It's going to give you more peace and more contentment and more satisfaction than you ever imagined. But I can't help until you let go. I can't. For others, maybe it's joining a circle. It's stepping out there, putting yourself out and surrounding yourself with some people who love you and who want to help you. And here's one thing I do want to say. Any of these steps you're taking are a step towards best. They're a step towards God. And they're a step away from that guy we talked about earlier, the devil, and he's not going to like it. And he's going to do everything in his power to stop you from taking those steps. Like right now, you know how he's giving you all the reasons why you can't sign up to serve? You know how your brain's just kind of going crazy right now of all the excuses, all the reasons why he's not talking to me? You're like, when I mentioned the finance thing, you're like, there he goes again. All he cares about is money. Like, I get that. You know, that's that person who's in power in the world trying to destroy your life. I'm just telling you what's happening. But if you give your life to Jesus, if you place your faith in Him, you can trust that the one who is in you is greater and more powerful than the one who is in the world. And He can bring you to peace and to contentment and satisfaction like you've never imagined possible. Look, all I can do is present the facts and beg you to take a step. I don't know what your step is today, but I know you have one. And I know tomorrow you'll have one. And I know the next day you'll have one. My prayer is that you will begin to see your life as a series of steps towards God. Every day, how can I step towards you today? How can I step into the most of God possible today? And understand, when you step into most, you invite the best. I don't know, for some of you, you need to begin take the very first step. You came here today, you don't believe in God. Man, I've insulted you. I told you like you were a slave of the devil and all that kind of stuff. And blame Paul, not me, because he said it. But it's true. And I would love to help you fix that today. I really would. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father has planned this moment for you to be here right now so you can make a decision to change your mind about Him, to give your life to Jesus, and to make 2018 the best year you've ever experienced in your life. And so here's what I'd like you to do. I'd like everybody to bow their heads and close their eyes. And if you're here today and you say, yes, I want to change my mind about Jesus. I want to begin a relationship with Him. I want to give Him control over my life. Then it's very simple. You just pray these words in your heart. Just say them in your mind as I say them out loud. Just repeat after me and just talk to God and say, God, I need you. And God, I want you in my life. God, I admit that I have sinned, I have made mistakes, and it hurts. And I want better. I want your best. And God, I believe your Son made that possible. I believe he paid the price for my mistakes. I believe when you brought him back to life, it was proof that you could bring me back to life as well. So right now, I commit my life to you. I commit to following you. I commit to pursuing you. I commit to take a step towards you every day. Because I believe I am best when you are most. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I'd love everybody to keep their heads bowed and eyes closed. Two things. If you pray that prayer, I want you to know, we believe that your life just changed. And we believe you are now beginning a series of steps that will last the rest of your life. And it would be our church's highest honor to guide you in that process and to help you know what steps to take. And to do that, we need you to tell us that you prayed that prayer. We do that two ways. One is very simple. One, I'm going to count to three. And when I count to three, if you would just raise your hand just as high as you can, just as a public affirmation that you prayed that prayer so that we could celebrate with you and pray for you, man, we would really appreciate it. So here we go. One, two, three. Just raise your hand. Keep them high. Shoot them up. Shoot them up. Amen. Keep them up. Amen. All right, you can put your hands down. Now, everybody look at me. Number two. This is a way to let us know. That connection card we mentioned earlier, that connection card that's in the back of the chair in front of you, there's a box on that that says, "Today I became a Christ follower." That's what we believe happened. Here's what we ask. We ask that you complete that card. On your way out, you can bring it to the blue room. On your way out, you can take it by the info desk. On your way out, you can hand it to an usher at the door. But it is a tangible way for us to know what's happened and for us to be able to follow up with you again to help you understand the steps, the next steps that'll help produce the best life possible in your life. It's actually a life we're about to sing about as we close. A life free from chains of fear, of failure. The life that comes from embracing the fact that you are a child of God. That is the step towards best year ever. And that's what we want for you for 2018. We'd want better. We want best. Because God's planned it. God's provided it. You just have to receive it. So let me pray for you. Jesus, we love you so much. Jesus, we thank you for this moment. We thank you for this time. We thank you for your Son. Lord, I just pray right now that you cement in our hearts this truth of today. Lord, I pray we'll never be the same as we seek daily to take a step towards you. It's in your Son's name. Amen.
Thanks again for listening to the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit wellspringchurch.tv.